everybody. Welcome in for another episode of All Code Confidential. I'm your host, Austin Price, brought to you by Knoxville Smiles. They do great, fantastic dentistry. Check them out at KnoxvilleSmiles.com. Tennessee coming off a big win over Chattanooga to kick off the season. We hope everybody enjoyed Darrell Sims last week, Alec Ablin on tonight's show. But before him, we bring in Will Crockett. Will, you head to Charlotte now. NC State, big game coming up this weekend. Where can Tennessee fans find the Volunteer Club over in Charlotte?
Yeah, so we're going to be in Charlotte. We're still working on some details for Friday night, but right now we're going to be in town on Saturday. We will get those details out to you so Ball Club members can meet up. We're going to have a spot for you to where if you're not really sure where to go in Charlotte, we're going to have that just squared away for you. Come find us, hang out with ball fans before going into the game and getting a big win.
What's the biggest changes you've seen in NIL over the last several months as far as, I mean, it seems like it's in an ever-evolving world.
Yeah, you know, I think there's a lot of rules and laws that kind of keep getting brought up, but nobody really knows what they mean exactly yet. So we're still just trying to always adjust to what's in front of us. We do our best to stay ahead of it, but sometimes you just don't know what's there. So we're always trying to find ways to make sure that we're staying in front. You know, I think that's been important for us since all of this started. When you look at Tennessee as an athletic department, as a state, we're leaders in what we do. So we always want to continue to just maintain that.
Now for more on Knoxville Smiles.
Knoxville Smiles, depending on us to make your smile better. Knoxville Smiles, are you happy with your smile today? Knoxville Smiles, we're all about smiles.
Hey Lance, what makes you smile?
Pancake blocks.
You're in year two as an on-the-field coach. I know probably more accelerated than you thought you would have at this point. What have you learned from year one to year two?
Yeah, I think just be yourself. Like, honestly, there's going to be things that are new to you and things that you learn on the way, but at the end of the day, you got to be you. You can't be anybody else. And don't be afraid to change. Don't be afraid to ask for help. Don't be afraid to do things a little bit different than what's been done before.
Does it help that, you know, you've known Coach Heupel, Coach Halsley, Coach Ellerby, who's a mentor to you, like, as you kind of journey through this early part of your career, that they're always there, you know, guys that you know like the back of your hand?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when you need somebody to lean on or when there's something that would normally be a difficult conversation, it's really not with those guys. And when you've got trust built up over a bunch of years and you know, you work for a guy that is open-minded and a guy that is constantly trying to be the best you can be. You know, if you bring an idea or bring a thought, it's met usually with a lot of deep thought, but also an open mind. That part of it's really cool.
I don't think I've ever talked to you about this. When Josh came to you and told you he wanted to elevate you to an on-the-field assistant, what was that conversation like? What was your mind like in that conversation?
Pretty excited, to be honest with you. I mean, it was a long process from the time that Coach Golish left to the time that I got promoted. And, you know, it wasn't just a promotion because, hey, you're the next guy that's here. He went through and interviewed a lot of people and talked to a lot of people. And that process took, I mean, 6 weeks, maybe.
It was a while.
It took a long time.
Coach Heupel doesn't know hiring fast.
Well, you know,
no matter who it is,
he's going to be thorough and he's going to be detailed and he's going to make sure it's the best thing for the program. And, you know, obviously I was excited and ready to get to work and had a chip on my shoulder and ready to go prove it. And, but really just grateful for the opportunity.
Was that in his office?
Yeah, it was in his office. You know, we'd been pulled in there a couple times for, you know, why do you want this job and things like that. And he came in and contract was there and said, go through it, take as much time as you need to kind of make sure everything's okay and looks right. And there were some other things said afterwards that we'll keep between us, but it was pretty cool.
So it was that simple. Like, he just brought you in and just put the contract in front of you.
Yeah.
Josh is a big kind of practical joker. I could see him being like, I'm going to go in another direction. Nah, I'm just playing. You know, like,
I don't know.
I'm actually surprised that didn't happen.
low-key, he kind of has some of that in him. I don't think with that he would do that, but...
he does like the practical jokes.
He does, and he there's a lot of times, especially when people first meet him, I don't think they can tell if he's serious or if he's joking, and you know, there's times where he is dead serious, and you might think something's funny, and it's not, and there's other times where you think he's serious, and he's just messing around, but the more you get around him, the more you've been with him, the more you can tell kind of where he's coming from.
Who's the best at getting over something like that on staff?
How do you mean getting over it?
Getting over a practical joke, like getting somebody to believe one thing and then pulling the rug.
I think everybody handles it pretty well. I think there's Coach Ellerby's probably the one you stay away with, trying to get him on stuff. But as far as like everyday practical jokes, there's not a whole lot of that.
No. What I was meaning, who's the best practical joker on the staff? Who can pull that off?
Probably Hype. Probably. There's not a whole lot of that. I think a lot of the time when we're in the office, things are, you know, pretty straightforward, pretty direct. There's not a whole lot of joking about some of that stuff. I don't know. I think Hype probably more than anybody else.
What's the biggest thing you learned from Glenn?
Man, he's get your guys to play really hard. Love and trust is something that when you start building a room, and when I think about when he got to Missouri in 16, we had a big meeting, and what does family mean to everybody? And this was whole team, and guys are saying, oh, accountability, and, you know, we got to be disciplined, and, like, looking for coach answers. And we came back to the O-line room, and he's like, we just talked about family for 10 minutes, and nobody said love. Like, it's got to start there. Understanding that there's a difference in how people display love, but kind of know that that's where his heart was coming from, and that everything he was asking us to do was coming from that place, as rough around the edges as it may have been at that time. But it's something that, he's himself every day. He's the most thorough guy, the most attention to detail oriented guy I've been around, trying to take as much of that from him as possible and still be myself as I do it too.
You're an old lineman, but you played a little tight end there in college.
Yeah.
So when you moved to tight end, coach tight ends, did you feel like it was a little easier for you because you'd at least played it for a little bit of a stretch?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the way that we operate, you know, there's no huddle. The signals at most offenses give an entire signal, a formation, everything like that. And the way that we operate, there's a lot of implied things for the tight end where you've got to understand kind of the big picture and where you fit within it. Going back to being 22 years old, seeing signals, lining up for walkthroughs, lining up in games, understanding what that looks like when the play ends, your eyes have got to come back, you got to find the signal, and you're not getting told where to line up. You're understanding the play and you're lining up based off what you got to do. I think that part of it really helped. You know, in the run game, obviously I wasn't running a lot of downfield routes in my role as sure. a tight end. But there's certain blocks off the ball, whether it's counters or inserts, where, you know, people have taught it one way for a long time, or this is the coach textbook way that you teach this block. And as a player, there were certain things I was like, man, that's a little bit – I don't know if that's real. Like, having actually tried to do this block, man, this is what made sense to me. This is – probably the way that it actually works best for what we do. And a lot of those conversations year one, and a lot of my interview was, here's what we're saying, here's what's been said for the last 10 years, here's something I believe about this position that I believe in and want to try and see. So I think playing it helped, not just from that. The other thing is, I mean, there's parts of this job that aren't super fun. You know, you get, you cut out a C-gap, or you got to go ISO on a really big backer from somewhere. And when you've done that yourself, it's easier to ask the guys to do that as well.
Do you have footage?
There's video out there somewhere.
Of you playing tight end.
There's some game clips.
Do you ever pull
now,
this out?
I do have practice footage of me catching some passes in practice. And I think Coach Heupel's last day, we were in bowl prep. And I'm not sure if he'd taken the UCF job or not. But the way he called the twos that day made me think, okay, maybe he knew, because there was a pop pass to me. There was a quick ball to the flat to me. I got my number called like four times on one of my last drives on Coach Hype's last day at Missouri and thought, you know, looking back, like, I wonder if he knew then, because he was feeding me a lot that day. And normally,
was this in practice?
Yeah, this was in bowl prep with like the twos and threes running drives. Yeah. So
have you ever pulled it out?
I've got video on my phone. You want to watch?
No, I'm just thinking from a standpoint of like, do you ever pull this out? Like, hey, look, Holden, I did it.
You know, the one day, our short yardage package, I was one of the fullbacks on that. And whenever we're installing it with the whoever's serving that role, we'll have the cut up and go through what the fundamentals of it are and then show them, hey, listen, if I can do this, you can do this, and pull it out and show them what it's supposed to look like. But it's, I don't know, glory days, I guess.
Best memory of playing at Missouri was what?
There's really two. I think year one, we beat Texas A&M, Johnny Manziel, to clinch the SC East. And, you know, fans stormed the field. It was a pretty cool moment knowing that we'd won the East and we're going to play in Atlanta and beating a good Texas A&M team. That was probably, you know, the textbook first cool moment.
Sure.
You know, my red shirt sophomore year, I'd kind of been in and out of the starting lineup at guard and had kind of gotten beaten out during the middle of the year. Bye week hits, there's a race strike, there's a lot of stuff going on around Mizzou at the time, and Coach Pinkel comes in on Friday night to announce that he's retiring, and a lot of uncertainty, a lot of things that are kind of up in the air. I think you could see it on the staff's face as well, that who knows what this thing's going to look like. And we played BYU at Arrowhead. I'd actually been sick that week and weighed like 280. Wasn't really slotted to play. Guard comes in, has a back spasm or something in the second quarter, played the rest of the game, and played probably my best game at Mizzou to that point. And the feeling in that locker room after everything building up to it was something that, like, looking around that room, those guys, that we were able to go do that was pretty cool. That's probably the best moment, like an individual moment.
I asked you a question about, you know, kind of how you'd grown and what you took out of some of the, you know, the failure as a recruiter in year one to the success in year two. And you kind of got emotional and we put that on Twitter or X. And you had several of your former teammates respond. It seemed like you just like a guy that like really loved by all these guys you played with. What does that group of guys mean to you?
Yeah, I mean, it means everything. Heath Schuller was by to talk to the team about rivalry history and asked if anybody had heard of Jerry Colquitt, I think was his name.
Yeah.
And that was his favorite Vol of all time outside of Navy. And story about a guy that, you know, had been the starter, had helped him as a young quarterback, ended up getting beat out for the job, but was a guy that completely selfless, completely team first. And that's who I wanted to be as a player. And I realized, you know, somewhere in the middle of my career that I wasn't, you know, an elite SEC NFL guard center, and understood that my role, okay, how can I become the best player I can be? How can I help this team? But also, how can I be the best teammate? How can I bring young guys along? And I think really started coaching without knowing I was coaching before I'd gotten done playing. But I do think about it, like, it all goes back to love and trust. And if you've got that in your room, it can be really special and you'll have relationships that'll last a long time.
What do you like about this year's group, this year's room?
Man, they're fun to be around. Personality wise, they're, you know, very different, but also gel really well. I think last year was cool because you had Jay and Callie that were so mature, so grown up. And we've got a mature group now, but there was definitely, those guys were older and at kind of different phases of their life. This group is way more all together, top to bottom. But they come to work, they bring it, they want to be great, they work hard. We have fun. It's just a good group to be around.
What's the most give me an attribute of each guy. We'll start with, you know, Miles. What do you like about Miles? What's one attribute that stands out?
Yeah, Miles loves football, man. He's tough. He's going to give you everything you've got every single snap.
Ethan.
explosive, so fun. I think I said it the other day, like when his personality, when his energy is the way it needs to be every day, he's just a light in our room.
Holden.
Intelligent, detailed. Like he is so focused all the time. He really like is trying to be the best that he can be every single day and brings that out of the other guys as well.
Cole Harrison.
Goofy. But he's a goober. It is something where, you know, the way we play, it is hard to pick up as a guy coming in June. You know, most guys now get here in January and they've got all spring to kind of learn on the fly. I mean, he's taken a ton of reps just due to bodies and is operating at a really high level, but he's still a goober. And as he starts to settle in and starts to feel more comfortable, I'm excited to see what he's going to do.
What makes you smile?
Man, just being with the guys. Honestly, like I love being in that building every day. I love coaching football. I love being with Hayden here on the time we get off. I don't know. There's a lot of things that make me smile.
Speaking of smiling, more from our great friends at Knoxville Smiles.
I'm Tennessee basketball player JP Estrella. Let me give you a tour here of the offices at Knoxville Smiles. Dr. Costa is placing implants with a robot, and it's all done digitally. There's no guessing with this since it's all robotic. Dr. Wilco is the newest addition to the office. He loves to research the latest and greatest in technology, so the other doctors go to him for the newest product information and techniques. Dr. Malone is building teeth in the mouth. To him, cosmetic bonding is more like artwork. He does this without cutting your teeth down. It's all about building them up.
Guys, we still have a problem. Do y'all have a bigger chair?
Keep sending those questions in. We love to get them from each fan on the Volunteer Club app. Send them in. This week's question comes from young Emily.
Hi, Coach. My name is Emily. What's your favorite thing to do with your friends? Go Vols!
Hi, Emily. I love playing golf and honestly just spending time with my buddies. We go to concerts a lot. Mainly golf, though. That's really what I like to do when I get some time off.
Speaking of golf, you got to play the Ocean Course this summer on your bachelor weekend. You're getting married coming up in February. What's one golf course that you've not played that's not Augusta National, because I think it's everybody's bucket list, that you want to play?
You know, right now it's probably the Honors. I just hear about it a lot just being in this area. I know it's an incredible golf course, and I've had my butt kicked by Pete Dye plenty and would look forward to another time out there.
Everybody's had their butt kicked by Pete Dye. What's your one club in your bag that you feel like is the most consistent?
Not many of them, honestly. Probably my 58 wedge. I feel pretty good with that right now.
Putter on the 18th hole.
Putter on the 18th hole is always going to be hot.
That's fantastic. You got the fiance in the golf yet?
Working on it. Maybe a Christmas gift coming down the road. I don't know. We'll see. Yeah, I don't know. My buddies and I have had this conversation of, well, do you want your wife to be a golf wife, or is that kind of your time away? And I don't know. We'll see if she likes it or not, but we'll maybe explore that a little bit.
Are you involved in the wedding planning at all? Or is this kind of like, you do you, and I'll just help with the honeymoon?
She's absolutely crushed probably 95% of it. I was in charge of the band, and I've got pretty eclectic, pretty deep cut music taste that I found were going to be tough to find in a wedding band. So that kind of ended up being her call as well. But so far, I'm just showing up and saying I do.
If you haven't noticed, she's over here. Have you licked the stamps? Have you licked the envelopes?
Yeah, like, okay, all right. I did contribute there. Yeah, we compiled addresses. I was a key part of that. I did do some stamping and some envelope licking.
Did you just have one of those sponges where you dampen it?
I'm weird. I kind of like the taste of the envelope, so it's actually kind of my favorite part in the letter sending process.
Oh, this is like Will Levis saying he likes to put mayonnaise in his coffee.
Absolutely not. It's totally different. Austin, you know that.
Where are we going on the honeymoon to?
That's a good question.
Yet?
I think she's going to end up planning that too. I don't know. Maybe somewhere warm. Europe. Next July, I think. 2-week Europe trip. Where in Europe? She'll probably be steering that, but I think Europe.
Scotland, golf. That's your
no shot. Appreciate it though.
There's golf everywhere, though, Abes. Josh Heupel, what's the biggest thing you've learned from him, from former coach to now boss?
Yeah. Be who you are. Be yourself, first and foremost. I do think that he doesn't try to be anybody but himself. He is incredibly detailed with everything he does. Like looking at his practice face after practice, there's so many notes and so many things that he thinks about, or things, questions he asks that, man, I would never have thought to ask that, and it's going to lead to something that helps us win a game in the fall. More than that, though, I think from the time I was a player to a GA to a coach, like everybody in that building has a role. If you've got an idea that can make us better, you're hurting the team if you're not bringing that idea forward. And does that mean that every idea gets pushed forward and used? No, but he wants to have input from everybody, whether you're a student assistant or whether you've been doing this for 40 years. And I think that's part of the reason why we've been able to kind of stay ahead of the curve so much, because it's not just his ideas. He's able to get value from everybody and everybody feel like they've got a role.
One place you've not been that you'd like to go?
Europe. Scotland.
I just put that in your head.
Yeah.
Are you a big animal experiences guy? Are you an outdoors guy? Like, are you a hiker?
You know, when we first got here, that first spring, Fridays during dead periods were always off, and we'd go out to Smokies and do a bunch of hikes, and haven't done that as much recently, but I do love being out in the mountains down here. Growing up, loved to hunt, loved to fish. Duck season and football season conflict a lot.
You like to get in the blind.
I do. Country club hunting somewhere with a propane tank, and you go heat up some breakfast and wait for birds to show up.
That's why you got to go with the Mays family. They got their own blind out there in West Tennessee.
We've been talking about it for a minute. The timing of season makes it really tough for me, but I would love to get out there with them.
Trey goes out there, Trey Smith.
Yep.
You know. Yeah. Like six former offensive linemen and a blind. I just
need a big blind.
You need a big blind. Would you get into like a shark cage? Is this
probably? So, fun fact, my mom, Julie Abelin, is one of the most amazing people in the world. And, you know, after college, she was kind of looking for what she was going to do next. And she'd taken a scuba diving class in college and bought a one-way ticket to Grand Cayman and lived down there for 2 years as a dive instructor. So, that's always something that I've looked like that would be really cool to do. I'm not scuba certified. My brother took the same class with the same teacher when he was at Mizzou as well, but it's family-wise something I think would be really cool to do.
See, I keep trying to, we're going to go back to the Polynesian Bowl because Tennessee's got like so many guys in that game, and I keep telling my wife I want to do there's the manta rays at night, which means you go out in the ocean and they put that like a long kind of, it's almost a surfboard, it's like a long board and it has lights on it, and it brings the plankton to the surface, and then the manta rays come up and they swim around you and stuff, these big things that are as wide as my arms. Or I want to get in a shark cage, and she keeps telling me no, she's gonna stay at the hotel that day if I do either one. Because like we've done whale watching several times, we swam with sea turtles, like all that stuff's fun, but I want to see great whites, which that you're not really gonna see that out there, but orcas, and you're gonna see that either. But like I there are certain things I want to
the manta rays would be cool. I'd sign up for that. Yeah, we should work on her and try to. It'd be cool. Are they relatively safe, do you know?
Yes, they have. Matt Ray just did them. He was out there back in July, and he was the one who put me onto it. And then, you know, your phone listens to you, so I start talking about it. And all these things coming up on my Instagram of, like, you know, these reels. I'm like...
That'd be cool.
Are you a big reel guy? Do you watch reels?
I'm addicted to TikTok, sadly. I've got to allow myself 15 minutes at the end of the night. I get my blue light glasses on and I'll scroll for 15 minutes. It drives her freaking crazy, but it's a kind of way for me to shut off my brain. And
I love prank calls. I love the ones with prank calls. I can watch that stuff all day long.
John Cena one.
I love the John Cena one.
That's a classic,
right? It is.
I'm trying to think.
That woman loses her mind.
I've seen another one. I'm trying to think what it was. It's going to bug me until I think of it. But
the best one's when the one's like, I'm sorry, ma'am. do you support the military? She's like, oh, I'm so sorry. Yes, yes. And then she goes right into the music again. That's so fantastic. All right. The new segment on the show. Last year we had Jordan LeBron. Jordan won. It was a narrow win. Mostly because we had a bunch of young kids in here who you know, have recency bias. This year it is, who's the one person that you can depend on to call? If I ask you to call somebody, and again, the fiance's over here, so we're not calling her.
Yeah, it's got to be mom.
It is mom again.
It's got to be mom.
All right, let's pull out the phone. Let's see if she answers. You got to put her on speakerphone.
This could get interesting. Let's see.
Like Dave Portnoy. One call, everybody knows the rules. Then he takes like seven bites. After he says one bite, everybody knows the rules.
Do you think I just tell her I'm on the vol?
Alec, you okay?
I'm great. We're here doing an interview. Good. And they asked me if there is one person that I could count on to pick up the phone, who would it be? And it's you. So thank you for picking up.
You're not calling mom enough.
Of course.
Mom, he's not calling you enough if you're answering saying, are you okay? Okay, you need to be calling mom more.
You know, I am one of those moms who, if he calls me at an off time, it worries me. I just have to make sure my baby's okay. And just to hear his voice makes me so happy.
He was bragging on your scuba diving skills.
Oh, well, I like to go down under there. Yeah, it's a whole nother world underneath.
Thanks, Mom.
I'll be good. Hey, enjoy your interview. You guys have a great time.
All right, we'll do. Love you.
All right, love you too, sweetheart. See you later. Bye-bye.
That's fantastic. Mom's always coming in the clutch, and that's 2 weeks in a row. Darrell Sims' mom last week, Miss Avelyn this week, where the mom answers the phone, are you okay?
We talked probably 2 hours ago, so I'm not sure. I do a decent job. I really do. I know there's times where it becomes, you know, a week or so, but she's, I mean, pretty awesome, so.
No doubt. You got brother. Is he older or younger?
He's younger. Yeah, I got a brother.
He's better than you in golf now. We've established
he is. He there was about 22 years that couldn't beat me, and now it's like twice a year that I can get him. But
welcome to college coaching.
It's sad. It really is. But he's an accountant back in St. Louis and one of my best friends. So
it's, how often do you talk to him?
Probably once or twice a week. Yeah. It's I don't know. Usually he'll call me after a great round, or I'll call him after a great round, or he'll call me to ask if such and such with recruiting that he just read. And, you know, he stays pretty involved, and they'll be at a bunch of games this fall.
Is he a member of VolQuest?
I don't think so.
This is disappointing.
Yeah, I know.
Brother Ablin, you got one job.
My mom used to be on the Power Mizzou boards, and I used to have to tell her, like, don't read that stuff. You don't need it, because I was not a very good player. So there's a lot of negative stuff about me, and it's like, I don't want to know what people are saying about me. Please leave it off.
I loved, you know, last year when we established the first year while I was in recruiting, every time that like when Riddell went to Georgia, people would post that picture of you at like 3:10
in the Missouri. Not my best picture. Looking back, the mustache is probably not the way to go.
The mustache not the way to go.
Yeah.
And now, like, you know, you got, you know, talking about how you're kicking butt in recruiting. So see,
hey, same guy though. Honestly,
correct. Exactly.
Same guy.
That's what I always tell them. Like, they're quick to like praise me for being on top of it in a particular recruiting cycle, and I'm like, guys, I'm the same guy last year that had three or four that I got technically wrong, even though I had them right. It's just the NIL era, because it can flip on a dime with kids and their money now. So, like, it just, you know, same dude. You know,
I hope that's still the bat signal for the good ones, right? Do they still post the mustache picture, or is it? Are there other
pictures now? To rub it into all the negavols, as they call them.
Negavols,
That you're crushing it.
Awesome.
I know, I do like that.
It's a good pick. Yeah. So, real true story.
Mustache was a bad choice. Well, it's kind of like the Will Ferrell on Anchorman when he's drinking the milk.
Yeah.
Milk
was a bad choice. Well, I used to mess with really my mom on picture day and just try to make it look as bad as it could, and she'd get pissed because the program would have it in there. And wasn't thinking senior year that they actually, for senior night and for you know, your last walk, they print out like a big poster thing. So it's that picture on like a 4x6 poster, and it's hanging in my room. And when you're using the bathroom, if you're washing your hands in the sink and that door is open, that picture is looking at you.
Are you
from.
Telling me your room at your parents' house is still preserved, kind of like Ray Finkel's was on Ace Ventura?
Yeah, they haven't done anything with it yet, so it's still all the same.
Laces out, Dan.
Yep.
Laces out. Have you ever seen the picture of the Tennessee fan who has, like, the power tee cut into his mustache, into his goatee?
No, but I think I need to.
My buddy Chris Clapp. He's a proud William Blount graduate, played basketball at Water State, and then decided, like, honestly, I think you could actually
pull this off. Yeah, I could probably do it. Yeah. Just right here.
When was the last time you were fully shaved?
I really don't know. Probably, I'm sure there was something back in college that I had to be clean shaven for, but probably junior or high school. Wow. Yeah, you weren't allowed to have facial hair till senior year. But been a while.
That was a rule at the high school?
Yep. So, Catholic high school,
gotcha.
Seniors could have facial hair. Everybody else had to be clean shaven. They make you go shave in the dean's office if you had too much scruff going on.
What do you want to accomplish? Like, what's the next step for you?
Yeah. One, win a bunch of games this year, go win a championship, help some guys get drafted and go pursue their professional goals. If you asked me a year ago, I told you I probably wanted to coach O-line at some point, but the more I'm with this position, the more I've fallen in love with coaching tight ends where, I don't know, I'm pretty happy. I'd like to call plays at some point, but I think down the road I'll have a chance to do that.
Is it easier because you kind of like skip the go smaller to come back bigger? You kind of just went big right out of the gate.
Yeah.
Is it easier to be a little more patient with – kind of the progression of things, because you are young. So, I mean,
yeah.
Like, there's no kind of like race to get to a certain point by a certain age.
No, and I think, you want to fight comfort and put yourself in a position to grow and continue to be the best coach you can be. But at the same time, I think we all realize as a staff how special this place is. You don't want to break what's not, you don't fix what's not broke. I love it at Tennessee. I really do. I love walking in that building every day. And, there's a balance between pursuing what you want to achieve professionally and at the same time, not messing up a great thing and being patient and understanding that if those things are meant to be, they'll happen on the right time and continue to just be present with where I am every day.
Kelsey's a guy who just recently got married, has a little one who has way better hair than anybody I know. Like, that kid is crushing the
hair.
He's
a stud.
His mom rolls him in the stroller, and I'm like, dude, I need some of your hair. Like, I'm going bald.
Me too.
You do. Like, he needs it. He does not need it. He's got a fantastic head of hair. But do you talk to Kelsey, like, hey, how do you balance this as a young married guy and now a young dad? Joey, a little more further down the line with kids, but like Glenn, even further down the line. But do you talk to them about from the outside, the off the field type of growth? Because, I mean, you're going to start experiencing, like, a new part of your life with getting married and then eventually having kids, that type of thing.
No, for sure. I mean, it's cool to have people like that you can look at and see how they're doing it as a dad and as a husband. And, Kevin Pendleton's on staff. He's one of my best friends. And, he's married. He's got two kids. And watching him be a dad after, being away for 4 years at another stop, it's so cool. And also, we've got plenty of time for that, but at the same time, like, I am ready for that stage of life. I'm looking forward to it.
Are you a big Disney guy? Theme park guy?
I will be. We used to take a Disney trip every few years or so, and, living in Orlando, you go down to Disney every now and then, but I'm sure I'll grow to love it as much as you do, maybe.
Nobody loves it as much as I do. But that's the, like, the dad part of that.
Yeah.
Like, coaching your kids. Like, I know Hype's favorite times are getting to go watch Jace or, his kids play, right? I mean, there's different.
So when I, first got done playing, I knew that I'd like coaching college, but at the same time had seen what that work-life balance can look like at places and was honestly going to go back to St. Louis, get a finance job and maybe coach high school ball on the side. And had a conversation with Barry Odom, and he said, listen, you can go work a finance job and be an average dad. You can go coach college football and be a great dad. If you're with people that prioritize family, you can make it work where you still have both. And he said, and maybe this is bad advice, but he said, when your kids are really little, it's really hard on your wife, but they won't remember much of it anyways. And he said, when, you know, your kids are in high school, they've got their own thing going and, you know, you're around and you're a part of their life, but they don't need you there every second of every day. And he said, in the in-between, you get to be your hero. You give them permission to chase their dreams. And that kind of convinced me, like, hey, let's give this thing a shot. And 2 weeks into being a student assistant at Mizzou, was like, dang it, this is what I'm supposed to do with my life. And, you know, I'm lucky to work for great people where family is prioritized and family is a part of the day-to-day in our building. And, you know, it's not 1982 anymore. You're not physically cutting up film. There's only certain so many hours you can watch so much tape that, you know, if you're at the office at 2 o'clock in 2024, what are you doing? Where, you know, 20 years ago, maybe that's not the case, but now there is a ability to have a little bit more work-life balance. And when you work for good people, that can still be a priority in your life.
Well, man, we appreciate the time.
Yeah.
Good luck this fall. Good luck with the wedding in February.
Appreciate it.
And maybe, just maybe, if you're doing a two-week trip, she can accompany you on one round of golf while you're over there in Europe.
We'll pack the clubs just in case.
Le Golf National, where they just played the Olympics in Paris. There we go.
You want to go to Paris?
She said no.
We'll get
appreciate it, man.
Thanks, Austin.
Appreciate it, man. Be careful. Sorry.